This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, welcome to the morning run. It's Monday, 4th of March, and you're with Julian Ng and Sharitz Abdullah. Here's taking a look at the market roundups on Friday. The Dow Jones closed up about 0.5%. S&P 500 was also up 0.7% at the NASDAQ. A pretty good performance there, up about 0.8%.
So in Asia, everything looks quite positive as well. Nikkei closed 1% higher. Shanghai Composite was up about 1.8%. Hang Seng was up by 0.6%, Kospi at 1.8%, Singapore at 0.2%, and only KLCI down by 0.4%.
So the relative underperformance of the KL Seng market, but Shanghai and China, the rest of China, continues to power ahead.
That's right.
Just looking at some of the headlines, there was a report analyzing Goldman Sachs by Citigroup, so one bank analyzing another, and the Citi thinks that Goldman Sachs may have to pay fines of up to $9 billion US dollars due to a tough legal setup in the 1MDB case. The scandal has rocked Goldman Sachs' price, which has lost actually $12 billion in stock market value over the last year or so. And I think that this has sort of priced in that $9 billion loss, right? The market value has lost $12 billion and the potential $9 billion loss estimated for the 1MDB case.
So it's interesting that Lim Guan Eng was the one that raised this up, but we don't know whether or not the money is going to end up in KL or is it going to end up in the US at the end of the day, isn't it? So moving on, Amazon is looking to launch a dozen of grocery stores in some of the major US cities, for example, San Francisco, Seattle, Chicago, and also Washington. It was trying to expand its food business as well as push it to a more sort of physical retail ventures. Recall that, the market chain Whole Foods, they acquired it in 2017. So, moving on now to a grocery market. Really.
Yep. I think this is very significant because this used to be a pure online marketer. Now it's getting brick and mortar stores. It's going the other way. Certainly, I think it's going to make Walmart tremble and giving a lot more competition. Speaking about tech, we already know that Lyft, that ride-sharing company, is planning for an IPO this year. Last Friday, it made its IPO papers public, so you can go up there and read what this Lyft is all about. It looks like Lyft could be listed very soon, by sometime this month.
Right. So I guess this goes along with even Uber, who also announced that they are also going
That's right.
IPO as well.
But what's up in the air, though, is that no valuation was specified. So it's really up to us investors to give a kind of valuation or, you know, as it were, to gamble on what the valuation is going to be. This is like very much the greater fool's theory, right? Whether you can just flip something that you buy to somebody who's willing to buy it at a higher price.
And that's interesting as well because of the earnings that these sort of ride-hailing companies have been going through in the past few years. I mean, they've been operating at a loss.
Gigantic losses.
Gigantic right. losses. And now, leaving it to the to consumers to decide on the share market price. So that will be interesting to watch, really. Now, speaking about, the rest, 7:30 today, Canada has allowed for the extradition of the Huawei CFO, Meng Wanzhou, who was arrested at the Vancouver airport last December. She was arrested for violating the U.S. sanction on Iran, and also the case has sparked political furor in China. So Meng has denied any wrongdoing, and since on Sunday, the news broke that apparently she's suing the Canadian border officers, really.
Yeah, she's really fighting extradition, and now she's going to be passed on to the U.S. authorities. And also, I think over the weekend, Donald Trump made some statements. He berated Fed Chairman Jerome Powell for liking high interest rates, and that has also caused the dollar to be, in Donald Trump's words, too strong. And to have more analysis on this, we have Jeffrey Halley, Senior Market Analyst for Asia Pacific at Oanda Singapore. Jeffrey, thanks so much for joining us this morning. Now, the Fed has already signaled a policy change or at least a pause. Will this statement from Donald Trump add to this theme of a loosening?
Hey, good morning. I don't think it will have any effect whatsoever. That was a pretty wide-ranging two-hour speech where he seemed to torpedo everybody that had sort of annoyed him over the last year. Apart from making quite entertaining television, Jerome Powell has already stated previously that the Federal Reserve's independence is sacrosanct and not subject to political interference. And Mr. Trump actually did say he wanted a strong dollar, but not too strong a dollar. So I don't think you can really finesse Forex rates in this way. And the Federal Reserve, although it wants a strong dollar, its main focus is monetary policy and maintaining a strong U.S. economy, which by default should create a strong dollar.
So, Jeffrey, do you think that the dollar is too strong? The dollar trade weighted index has been firm since the middle of last year. Where do you think this will go after the Fed's dovish stance?
I think it's really a case of who is the least dovish at the moment. And if you were looking at the 180-degree U-turns that various developed and developing market central banks have been making on rates in the last six weeks or so, you'll see that the Fed and U.S. interest rates are actually relatively high compared to, say, Japan or Canada or particularly the European Union, for example, even Australia and to a lesser extent New Zealand. So I would say that the U.S. strength should persist simply on rate differentials, in all honesty. One interesting thing that's come out this morning is that the Wall Street Journal is reporting that a U.S.-China trade deal is very, very close to being signed off. And I would expect that the U.S. dollar will probably weaken on that today, but we should have a very good day on regional currencies and also regional stock markets.
Jeffrey, any thoughts on the ringgit as well as the Aussie dollar going forward?
Yeah, Aussie dollar this morning. I mean, we've got a rate decision this week. It'll be very interesting to see after 2.5 years whether the RBA actually does move on rates. I think it's still far too soon, though they will hold at 1.5%. We have a lot of central bank rate decisions this week, actually. We've got Canada, we've got ECB, and then we've got obviously the non-farm payrolls in the States on Friday. I would say that most of these central banks are going to hold pat right now. Like everybody else in the financial markets at the moment, we've all been waiting to see how this US-China trade war or not plays out. And if we get some sort of resolution on that one this week, that should be fairly positive for stock markets.
Thank you so much. That was Jeffrey Holley, Senior Market Analyst for Asia Pacific at Oenda Singapore. And I think that is a very all-encompassing statement, a prognosis of the US dollar. Because of higher interest rates, the US dollar is likely to be strong as a lot of international funds flow go back to the United States just to take advantage of that higher interest rates. But talking about the trade deals, you know, he also mentioned that a positive outcome would also benefit our stock markets around the world. There is a trade agreement between the US and China, and this seemed to be taking shape following some recent talks. China has brought something to the table, saying that they would remove lower tariffs on US farm and chemical and auto and other products.
So yeah, they're looking at the timing. I mean, it was just recently that it's going to be extended after 1st of March, and now not long after they are coming close to an agreement. And this, as you mentioned, all the farm, chemical and auto, speeding up the timetable for removing foreign ownership limitations on car ventures and also reduction of tariff, in particular, imported vehicles to below 15%. Now, Beijing is also looking at purchasing more goods from the U.S. So, and this is coming from an appeal to President Trump, who campaigned on closing a trade deficit with China.
That's right, with purchasing more food, more goods from China China purchasing U.S. goods, that would be cheaper because the sources are saying that the U.S. would lower a lot of tariffs, if not lift a lot of those tariffs when they sell to China. The U.S. is also considering removing most sanctions levied against Chinese products since last year. Beijing has made clear from day one that removing tariffs of the $200 billion U.S. dollars of Chinese goods was necessary in order to finalize any deals.
So the main hurdle still remains, where each side is likely to face resistance at home, arguing that the terms are too favourable. And still, talks have progressed enough that insiders say agreement could be reached at a summit between President Trump and Chinese President Xi Jinping.
Okay, I'm sure we'll be watching that like a hawk, because a positive conclusion will be very good for the stock markets, not only in the United States and China, which is powering ahead, but also for this region, including Malaysia as well. We'll be coming back with some local news after this. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.